Hi, Elise Castle.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
I hate this episode.
Oh, see, Mike hates this episode.
No, for the record, it's a fantastic episode. Like, everyone involved got Emmy nominations. And I feel like I'll save something I want to say about it for next week, because it's really about next week's episode. So this is Easy Come, Easy Go, originally August 6th, 2000. This is written by Michael Patrick King, and he did, in fact, get an Emmy nomination for writing this. It is directed by Charles McDougall, who joins the Sex and the City family.
Welcome, Charlie.
Yes, he also was nominated for his direction of this episode. He directed the original episodes, like the original pilot and first few episodes of Queer as Folk.
Oh, which one?
The British one.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's where he was discovered for this. He directed a lot of pilots. Directing a pilot is a very specific job because you're kind of setting the tone for the rest of the series. He's done a bunch, a handful. He directed the pilot of Desperate Housewives and won an Emmy Award for it. He directed the pilot for The Tudors. He directed the pilot for The Good Wife. He directed the pilot for The Mindy Project. And that's just a handful. He's done a ton of work. Super talented director coming on board with Sex and the City for the first time. So let's do our DVD recap. When it comes to relationships, is it smarter to follow your heart or your head? Miranda and Steve discover that goodbye isn't easy, but sometimes it's necessary. Samantha finds herself in bed with a man she cannot admire for his taste. Charlotte finds herself the subject of a surprise engagement. Carrie runs out of ways to say no to the man who never asked her to say yes. So we open with a shot of Fatty.
Is that the name of the cat?
That's her cat's name.
I was like, Mike, you're rude. Do we know that's her cat's name yet?
I feel like, has she not said it yet?
I don't know. I mean, the only episode I can think of is the one where she's like locked herself in her kitchen.
So maybe not.
Which I immediately was like, Mike's a Miranda, because they show Miranda with the cat and then Steve with the dog. And
yeah,
Miranda's all like huggy with the cat and then the dog's there and she's like, shh.
There are some kind of funny moments between cat and dog, I feel like, in this episode.
I didn't notice. I thought they would have more interaction, but I guess
really there's only anything. There's just one moment that stuck out to me.
So yeah, Miranda likes the cat more.
And we're dealing with the ending of a relationship.
Yeah, Steve's on the couch.
One of the unfortunate things about ending a relationship in an expensive city like New York is, while you can emotionally move away from each other, you physically can't.
6:30 in the morning, and of course the puppy sees her and makes noise and wakes up Steve. We determine that it's 3 weeks later, mm-hmm. So they've been broken up for 3 weeks living in the same apartment.
We still don't know the puppy's name yet.
We don't. Mm-hmm. Once again, I do, but I won't say it since I guess I kind of maybe spoiled Fatty.
Yeah.
And you know, he's been sleeping on the couch. They've been doing the kind of dance where they don't disturb each other. Certainly, she's leaving at 6:30 in the morning, not just to get to work early.
Right, like, she wants to get out of there.
Right. But he may have found a place.
No, I was going to ask if you wanted to go and look at it with me, but that's weird, right?
I don't know. I guess we could do that.
We're kind of getting to that territory of, like, when you break up with someone, how broken up are you?
Right.
Which we'll get more to that at the end of the episode. Well, we cut to the new designer's showcase.
In Grand Central?
That's what it looks like, but I don't know. But it definitely looks like that. I know they have little side rooms.
It looks like Grand Central to me.
I don't know for sure. I will say, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit. I won't bring it up a ton. This is the first episode with commentary from Michael Patrick King.
Oh, okay.
So I do have, I'm not going to say everything that he says, but I'll bring up a few things. So we have, there's a showcase and there's sort of this banter about her being his roadie.
Oh, I don't have a road. I just have this booth. So at best, you're my booth bitch.
Yeah, I'm your booth bitch.
It's just kind of like flirty, fun, sexy
talk.
Yeah,
it's like, wax my wood.
I liked it because I feel like certainly we've seen them be like romantic and this feels like sexual, flirty, like fun to me.
I mean, I was just like, quit saying booth bitch. Like, that was a bit much for me. I guess he came back. He was gone for 10 minutes. We don't know where he went.
I almost said that in the last episode, that it's not a, like, it doesn't become a thing. I think he must have just gotten home 11 minutes later. He's still around.
So then he goes away. Booth bitch stays a cleanin'.
And I do love, we have a lot of extreme close-ups in this episode. Mm-hmm. And maybe I just noticed them more, but just even that moment, that close-up of Sarah Jessica Parker, I just think she looks so beautiful.
Like, she does. Love... She doesn't, like, her makeup's different, too. It's very dewy and...
Yeah, she looks very soft and hair.
Yeah, maybe he's rubbed off on her a little
maybe.
Bit.
Maybe. She's going to start wearing turquoise jewelry.
Yeah, she's a little bit more like bohemian now, you know?
I just think she's so beautiful in that shot. And of course, it's, you know, short-lived as we get to Natasha and Big approaching.
Natasha in that, like, dress as if she's at a bridal shower.
It is a fact. She always wears white.
All right.
We have thus far never seen her not wearing white.
Always dressed for her bridal
shower. Yeah, always ready for the bridal shower. And I like the juxtaposition that they're both wearing white, because Carrie's wearing white, but of course she has the addition of, like, the day glow underwear that's showing through. And I like that. I like how those two look.
And it's, like, a weird thing. It's not, like, the whale tail thong thing in the back. It's, like, on the sides are slit.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
They did have thong charms for a while. Remember when those were a thing?
I do not.
You could, like, clip them on the side of your underwear. Yeah. I mean, I had no business wearing
you
any
had a
of
whole
that.
Collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carrie hides. And during her hiding, we discover that Natasha is not a fan of Aiden's furniture.
I don't know how you could like this clunky wood. It's almost oppressive.
Carrie is kind of revealed, and she kind of plays it off like she's just sort of dusting. And she even tries to use the term of, like, I'm his booth bitch. I think to, like, try to be, like, funny and, like, hey, we're a couple too, but it just doesn't land.
Not the same type of couple.
Yeah, Natasha does not find the humor in that.
That's a joke. Guess it's an in-joke.
We have the sort of thing of, like, this is not really our style.
Right.
Yeah, we only like teeny tiny furniture.
Which is really meaning it's not her style for the two of them.
Same thing with the wedding.
Yeah, this is sort of the closest that we've ever come to being indicated that we actually maybe shouldn't like Natasha. I mean, we feel like we're not supposed to like her because she's, like, the enemy and the one that got Big. But she's always been very, like, perfectly lovely in the past. This is kind of the first time you're like, oh, Natasha, why you gotta be a hater?
She's just one of those people that's, like, so boring that you're like, I don't like you.
And everything is beige.
Yeah.
We learn everything.
Like, she's one of those
beige
people that no matter what they do, they'll make me feel fat. And it has nothing to do with weight, but, like, no matter what Natasha says or does around me, I'm just going to feel fat. And that sounds like a personal problem, but it is. So then Aiden comes back and
we have our coffee name moment.
Well, hold on. Before that, they talk about, like, he mostly uses maple.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why maple. I felt that important. That was important. Like, hold on, Mike. Aiden's work is mostly done from maple. Yeah, so we're about to hear Big's name and then coffee on the crotch, McDonald's moment.
Pretty classic of, like, how do we avoid saying his name? Oh, we throw coffee in his crotch.
This is Natasha, and this is... Oh!
I do love the, you know, is it hot?
Well, it ain't cold.
So we have what I think is actually a big foretelling moment that happens right now when they walk away. There's the awkward where she tries to, like, clean his crotch and Natasha's like, yeah, I got it. And then as they walk away and he says, who were those people? And why can't she just say
he's
my ex?
Yeah. And she's like, it was a lifetime ago.
Like, it was 100. I don't even remember. And it's just, it's that weird little lie that is only going to lead to more of it.
Right.
It's that moment. I don't remember exactly how I felt about it the first time that I watched this, but I feel like it's a moment that kind of, like, hit me in the gut a little bit of, like,
yeah, I feel like,
oh,
it would be easier to be like, oh, this is my ex-boyfriend.
This is my ex,
and
he's married. Yeah.
He's married to
no
his
need
wife
to worry here.
Right.
It's just that, once again, that little lie that traps you. So then Big is drunk.
Big is drunk. They're in, like, a food area or...
I think they're still in the main area, but it's turned into now, like, a party.
Right.
So now they're, like, serving drinks and there's, like, a private auction.
Yeah.
A silent auction going
on.
He
keeps referring to Aiden as, like, Paul Bunyan.
Which is funny. I looked it up because Chris Noth is not a short guy. Chris Noth is 6'1½". Like, he's almost the exact same height as I am. I'm a 1/4 inch taller. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But John Corbett is 6'4½". And if I meet someone who's 3 inches taller than I am, it does sort of take me aback.
Me too. When I, like, see a woman that's taller than me, I'm like, hey, giant.
So I kind of get the references. I love the moment where he sets the glass on the furniture and she cleans it up.
Right. Because it shows that she's, like.
And I guess that wasn't in the script.
Oh.
Like, the script was he sets his glass down. So I don't know if that was Charles McDougall or if that was the two of them together. But I love that moment of her cleaning it up. And her being protective of Aiden's things.
And they talk about how everything is beige.
Everything in his apartment is beige. And then he wants to share a cigarette.
And she says, I quit.
I quit. And he says, we used to smoke together. And we used to do a lot of things that were bad for me together. And then he has a secret to tell her. And this moment's just awful. Like, it's
it's very strange. It's like, it's not working. I'm getting out.
With, like, the rolled-up magazine as he's, like, whispering in her ear, but from a distance.
And it's almost like, it almost does seem, every time in this episode that Big is dropping these big things, he's very weird about it. It's almost as if he's telling her, like, I've got chocolate cake in the fridge. Like, it's very nonchalant.
I think it's saying to her what he literally says, anyone interested. I think it's him saying to her, I'm telling you this information. Hey, give me something back.
Right.
I think it's him wanting her to say, great, let's get back together.
I do too. I just think he has no idea how to do that.
Yeah. So we quickly cut to four women
at dinner.
Yeah. So because this is us
she's
at
wearing
nighttime.
The same. Yeah. She's, yeah. At first I was like, where are they eating? Because they were not, it didn't look like the same place, but it is.
It is. But we just haven't seen it at night before.
And I mean, the salt and peppers are still pretty empty.
Okay.
But
they're all, I like how they're all sort of dressed. Like, it looks like Samantha was probably on a date, and it looks like, you know, like they were all sort of doing their separate things and they're coming together at night. Like, you get, he even mentions in the commentary, like, you get the feeling that Carrie called and was like, emergency, get to the diner.
Right.
And that is what it looks like. And I think that it's, we also then, oh yeah.
She goes, Big's leaving his wife, and Samantha goes, I knew it. Everyone else is like, what? And she goes, I knew it.
Well, and this is also something that I'll talk about, is that we have the three women with their three reactions that are all representing three different audience members. You have Charlotte, who is representing the audience members who are me, who are terrified, who are like, do not get back together with him. This is scary.
You don't know anyone who's interested. He's married. Carrie, he's married.
You have Miranda, who is representing the people who are angry.
Didn't you feel like punching him?
And then you have Samantha, who's still kind of giving in to, like, the sexual, you know, chemistry.
How did he look?
Though she is the one who has the line that I love of, like, well, you won.
Was there a contest?
Oh, please. There's always a contest with an ex. It's called Who'll Die Miserable.
And there's the line about save postage on their newsletter, which made me think of, like, when people used to do that, when they would send out, like, this is what's going on in my life before, like, social media, where you saw, like, everything someone ate for dinner.
Right. There's kind of, you know, Miranda kind of comments about, well, that's what happens when you get into a relationship too soon.
And I thought she was talking about herself, but she's not, because she's nudging
she's
at
already throwing Charlotte. Shade at Charlotte and Trey.
Trey and I are nothing like Big and Natasha.
And then Samantha refers to the seven-month itch.
Yeah, they've only been married for 7 months.
Right.
And
Carrie orders a Reuben.
Well, she wants to know who's going to share a Reuben. I'm like, you can just eat a Reuben,
girl.
Yeah,
I love a Reuben.
Yeah, you don't have to share that with anybody.
Maybe that's what I want.
So we find out that Charlotte is meeting the mother.
Yes, she is meeting Trey's mother, which I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Because last week, Mike was like, remember
that he has a mother.
Yeah, so
and
we
she has,
her.
She ha- you know, it's not logical, it's love. It's not logical, it's right. I think those two sentences are two very different things. I think it's not logical, it's love. I get that. Oftentimes, love is not logical.
No.
It's not logical, it's right. Boop. That one I am a little less certain about.
I don't know, though. Maybe, like, it's not logical, it's fate would have worked.
Sure.
And I think that's what she meant to say.
From right. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
I mean, or maybe she's just saying it feels right. I mean, there have been.
Sure.
There is, like, two or three times in my life, and I'm so grateful that it didn't work out, that I have been on, like, been in barely relationships with people or not relationships at all. And I'm like, well, if this person told me they wanted to spend the rest of their life with me, I'd just say yes because I know it's right.
I mean, I have such a, I feel like I might even mention this, like someone, like the day I met them, I was like, well, we're getting married.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the end of the night, it wasn't. And I was really upset. Cut to several months later where I was like, well, that's good that didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm always just like, oh, Vomtown. Like, yeah, so, I can't believe that. Do you like that phrase I made
Vomtown.
Up? Yeah, that's all like vomiting.
It's subtle. I almost didn't get it. I'm glad you explained it. So we go to the, now we kind of cut to the apartment.
Yeah, where it looks disgusting.
It looks terrifying. This is actually based on an apartment that Michael Patrick King lived in.
Oh, really?
And referred to as the doorway to hell.
Yeah, or as Miranda says, on the corner of Depressing and West Shit Street.
Yeah, it is pretty awful. And basically her bottom line is like, you're not living here. Well, wait, we'll find something else. And yeah, then we get to the Miranda and Carrie walk and talk. And what I like about this, It's the single take that we usually have, mm-hmm. but I do like, and I'm, once again, I don't know if I'm stealing this from the commentary, that the camera just then eventually just goes to Miranda and, like, mm-hmm. lets Miranda have her moment of her, like, knowing that he has to leave.
Right.
Like, knowing logically that's what it is, but of course that, like...
My head tells me it's time for him to leave.
It's a short scene, but I do like it. We cut to Carrie with some au bon pain.
Yeah, I caught that too, and I noticed that she's... Usually in these moments, she has a cigarette in her hand.
Correct.
So
yeah,
she's replacing
true.
It with a coffee, which is like any addiction you replace. Right. And it's like, because it's at nighttime, so she probably shouldn't be eating an au bon pain.
Au bon pain. Yeah, according to MPK, Sarah Jessica chose au bon pain, like thought that was kind of more authentic rather than like just a Starbucks cup. But I don't know that one is more authentically New York than the other.
Is au bon pain. How do you say it?
Au bon pain.
Don't even get me started on well Le Pain French, quotidien.
Le Pain quotidien. Yeah, you said it right. Hey. There you go. He did a good job.
They had one of those in my like college cafeteria, so I didn't know it was like unique New York. Unique
yeah, I don't
New
know.
York.
I mean, Starbucks obviously isn't really New York. It's Seattle. Yeah. I don't know where au bon pain
is. She should have chock full of nuts.
That's true. She should have had chock full of nuts. And then we get to the question.
When it comes to relationships, is it smarter to follow your heart or your head?
And we cut to Bunny.
Bunny McDougal, a.k.a. whatever happened to Baby Jane. Oh. Here she is.
This is Frances Sternhagen.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I will tell you more. She has 2 Tony Awards. She won for the 1995 heiress, and I don't know what the other one was for. Just the heiress one sticks out in my head. I already knew her from playing, I will go ahead and say, a similar character as John Carter's mom on ER.
Okay.
Which she'd been already doing for several years. Yeah, I guess that I'd never watched Cheers.
All right.
Cheers is one of those shows that I've always felt like I should maybe go back and watch at some point.
And then you watch Frasier?
I guess you would then watch Frasier. But yeah, I guess that she had a long run on Cheers. And then I also know her from The Closer because she was the mother. She was Kira Sedgwick's character's mother on The Closer.
Well, she's great.
She's terrific. I just feel like she is so perfectly cast. Like, yep, that's his mom.
But also that's like his mom could have been one of two things. His mom could be that, or his mom could also be this like super prissy, uptight.
True. I feel like as we discover this character, she marries both worlds a little bit.
Okay.
And I love that she's smoking and has
chain
a martini.
Smoking. Yeah. I like that she's chain smoking and she doesn't have, because I figured she would have like a cigarette holder.
Nope.
But she doesn't.
Yeah, just right there.
She also asked for more of those nibbly cheese things.
Yeah, we're going to get to that also, where she like asks Thomas to... I get that it's a thing. I think if anyone was like, I don't know, calling the server by their name is a little bit... Blah, to me. I don't love that.
I don't
that.
Know, though, but like...
But I think that this is that kind of restaurant.
Well, also,
like, I think
though,
this
like,
is that kind of...
She mentions, you know, he's old, but he never forgets a martini.
Right.
And so she's a regular. Like, you've been a restaurant in places where you're, like, the regulars, the people that do know you by name, wouldn't it be weird for them to not say your name?
I guess so. It represents a very different kind of place to me, I guess.
She may not do that with everyone, but
right.
I think she
Maybe
does it
with
Thomas. Yeah.
Ooh, what's the one on the bearskin rug?
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
And then
she's talking about pictures. Yeah. She's showing pictures of him.
Count your blessings. I didn't bring the one on the bearskin rug.
Ominous.
Yeah.
Leave that picture away.
Yeah, you can keep that picture and Samantha's like teenage sexcapades at home.
We have 2 instances of Bunny suggesting things to Trey, mm-hmm. which has kind of like the rubbing of his wrist a little bit. I love on the second one that we have our close-up of Charlotte's face.
At first I was like, does she think that Bunny is like into her son? Like that's
no,
why
I think that she's seeing, I
yeah,
think that
she's
admiring
like,
what
she's
doing.
Oh, I can learn from
and
this.
I love Charlotte's face. And I don't, you know, I don't want to say anything like negative about Kristen Davis's performance in general, because I enjoy watching her. I think that sometimes she plays it a little comedy, and like this moment feels so authentic of like her just really like, oh, I see what you're doing there. Like you really see her like taking a mental note.
Yeah, they have reservations at Cloche.
And instead they're going to eat at, did you write down the other restaurant?
Cote Basse.
Yeah, he gave up his reservation that he's been looking forward to because his mom suggested
that he do so. Did you look up
so.
Either one of these restaurants?
I did not,
oh, let's
no.
do it.
It might have to be a fake restaurant because they're kind of negative about it. Like, I'm not sure you could say, like, this real restaurant, but they were rude and the crab was off.
So, yes, I don't think maybe that's a thing, but let's try the other one. It was a New York City restaurant. Lacote. How do I say that?
Basque.
So it was a New York City restaurant. It opened in the late 1950s and operated until it closed on March 7th in 2004.
Does it say what neighborhood it's in?
It was a former high society temple of French cuisine at 60 West 55th Street.
Yeah. So that makes sense that like the fake restaurant they say bad things about, but they can say a real restaurant when they're saying nice things.
Right.
So then we cut to Samantha entertaining Adam Ball.
A film editor played by Bobby Cannavale.
Bobby Cannavale, two-time Emmy Award winner Bobby Cannavale. He won for Will and Grace, and he won for Boardwalk Empire.
I feel like this is your type.
I mean, I wouldn't say no, certainly. He's very handsome.
Not the funky spunk.
The funky spunk part. This is really early in his career, though. Like, it's like his fifth or sixth credit, but this is, I feel like this is kind of where he first got attention. And he's sort of talked about that, that like people, when they recognize him, they're like, you're the funky spunk guy, which probably isn't great. It's not a very long scene, but basically right. We get back to the foreman at the diner.
And I love that Samantha says, he has funky spunk. And Charlotte just walks out.
I love it so much.
And she's never coming back.
Because you think later on in the show, they're going to cut back to Charlotte being like, sorry, I left. I was just going through this tough time. But it's not.
No.
She literally just was like, I can't.
Yeah, she's like, this is the one. Because I feel like you're like, they almost waited for this. They're like, at some point, Charlotte's going to walk out.
Right.
And what's it going to be? It's going to be the funky spunk. For the record.
Can I cancel my rice pudding?
No, you can't. Cancel your rice pudding, Carrie. Like, you already ordered it.
Also, who orders rice pudding?
I feel like
pudding?
They've had rice pudding a few times.
I love a rice pudding. Yeah. I love rice pudding, but those desserts that are in, like, the diner displays, I never think anyone actually orders them.
And, you know, I mean, Samantha makes the point of, like, who can I talk to about this if not my girlfriend?
Right.
And Carrie's kind of like, but I suggest no one. I'm like, you're going to put this in your column.
Right.
So.
And then when they're talking about it, Miranda says it's talking about like swallowing.
Right.
She's like, it's never been a trip to Baskin Robbins, which immediately made me think of Mom's Making Cookies.
They sort of bring up the whole like nutrition thing. And
yeah, which I remember people being like, pineapple is a thing.
Yeah, I remember that too. Sweetened. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she swallowed.
Yeah. It looked like it.
Definitely did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Unless she like spit it out on the floor.
Yeah. I get it, but she's on her bed. To, like, spit it on him, then now we're getting a little graphic.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Miranda comes home to a message for Steve.
Mm-hmm. So why Steve is Steve giving away Miranda's number?
Well, Steve definitely doesn't have a cell phone, clearly.
Right, but why would he? He would just say, hey, I'm, like, I don't have a phone right now.
Yeah, that would be the right thing to
or,
do,
like,
but
call
I think
me at
Steve
the bar.
Is a guy.
Right.
I think Steve was like, this is where I'm staying right now.
This is
don't
where I'm
call
staying.
Too late.
Don't call too late.
My mom might wake up.
Yeah, my mom wakes up, she gets up really early, and if Magda answers, never mind, Magda won't answer, she's never been
We've
back.
We've never seen her again. In fact, I've never met her. Yeah, so there's a message from a lady that he met out.
The Amstel Light.
Oh, yeah.
Why is everyone at Steve's bar always drinking Amstel Light? The girls that like Fiona Apple? Amstel Light. This woman? Amstel Light.
I'm not saying anything negative about Amstel Light, but I will say I was once out at a bar with a friend of mine who was a model, and he was like, I guess I'll be that guy. I'll take an Amstel Light. Like, I think it's kind of like the light beer.
You know what's funny about Amstel Light is, well, I think the only time I was actually refused service at a bar was because I was probably young and drunk. I asked for a beer, and they were like, the taps are broken. That was her response, and then I was like, well, then I want an Amstel Light. And I got it.
Because
they were probably like, well, this won't do anything to anyone.
And we cut to an answering machine across town where Carrie's gotten a message. She has to bring Miranda in. They have to do the whole friend, listen to this message thing. We've been here before.
Right. And then she's like, well, she starts, I guess she hears it more and more and more. It starts to get more, she starts hearing different things. And this is very equivalent to reading a text over and over again.
Right. And, like, trying to detect tone.
Right.
And, like, what does it really mean? And Miranda's thinking of, like, we're never going to know what this
right,
means.
Right, unless you call him.
Right.
And so she calls him.
But first we do talk about, like, I do think the point is made by Miranda of, because he's a 34-year-old man, like, he has no apartment and he has no money, but he's a catch because he's single. And because
talking about Steve.
Yeah, because I'm a 34-year-old woman, and I have money and a great job, but I'm single, like, that's tragic somehow.
Right.
And that is really true. Like, there is, you are tragic, Elise.
I know, I'm like sitting here. I'm not 34.
Okay. So yeah, Carrie calls big and he basically is like, remember what I said?
I thought about it. It'll cost a lot. What a ridiculous thing to say.
I know. Haven't we been here before though? Wasn't he there another enough instance? Money. Right. But I think there's another instance where someone said something about like, we were going to get divorced, but then the money or something like that.
Well, probably.
Anyways. Yeah, it's, and she's rightfully angry and hangs up the phone. Uh-huh. And it's like, this is just what she needed to hear, basically. And we get to Aiden and Carrie in bed. And the whole thing of like, this place could use a little work.
Don't take this the wrong way, but this place could use a little work.
If you have cracks in your ceiling or like bad floors, would you spend the money to do that? Or would you call, like, if you're a renter?
I mean, is she a renter?
She's a renter.
Then, yeah, I was wondering the same thing. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah, you don't spend the money for that.
Well, number one, you don't spend the money. And number two, like, later in the episode when he was wouldn't the landlord be like, what are you doing up there?
Yeah. I have a feeling the landlord maybe doesn't live in the building.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, right. The super, a someone
neighbor,
like,
or someone.
Like, it's, you can't, yeah, it's really a short, do full renovations.
Right.
On a,
you're really not, you're literally not allowed to.
Yeah.
So we get to them drinking wheatgrass.
Yeah, wheatgrass. This was before the whole juice, I think the juice craze that's going on now. We're now right. Like, people are always like, do you have kombucha on tap?
Right. And I will say, like, wheatgrass by itself is pretty gross.
Yeah.
Like, it is like drinking grass. But that's why they usually mix it with things now.
Yeah, and I like that she goes bottoms up, because with the Viagra, if you, right. I want her to be like, bottoms up. That's just the only way you can say it now.
It's also just that thing where she's saying to the waiter, like,
how long does it take for the wheatgrass to work its way into your system?
Basically, she's like, how soon can I give him a blowjob?
An hour and a half.
She's like, ooh, we better order fast. Like, she's super excited to try this theory out. And then I put quite the shot, and then I put quite the segue. So quite the shot would be, we could see Samantha's face. And then
we get to gross salad, yeah, dressing mouth.
That's pretty good. Yeah, he wants to return his salad. I guess rich people do that. You don't return your food. You ordered it. Like, if it's terrible, fine. But if you're like, I'm not sure if I like this. I don't know. That's a pet peeve of mine.
And then she's like, and then he says, is it endive or endive? He says endive.
I think it's endive, but I think it's both. I used to work at a place that served it, and people would say endive or endive. I say endive.
Endive.
Charlotte suggests the tomato
hashtag
basil.
Team endive. Yeah, she's like, does the trick, yeah, that his mom, yeah, does.
She's learning the trick here. And then really feels like this is the moment, as Trey is talking to her and saying how much he likes being around her. And
why do I pull your hair back?
Was the waitress maybe not having her hair,
yeah,
back?
Her hair, yeah, her hair. The waitress needs to pull her hair back. She just does not have, that is not Department of Health.
And then on top of that, she ruins the moment by delivering that salad. I don't think that Trey was going to propose to her.
And that salad looks like a garnish. That does not look like, and he's like, this is just so delicious. But that salad looks like, can I get a side of tomatoes with my hamburger? And then that's what they would bring you.
It's a tomato basil salad.
Yeah, it should have, I don't know, look stupid. Pull your hair back, ma'am. Yeah.
So instead, Charlotte comes out.
Maybe we should get married.
Alrighty.
Yeah, and there you go. Next thing we know, she shows up at Carrie's to say, I'm engaged. But she's not very happy about it.
I proposed to myself.
Yeah, she's very upset about the way that it went down. And I do love the, I love Carrie's, who cares about those stupid rules? And of course, Charlotte, so honestly, another Kristen Davis moment that I love so much. She's like, I do. Like, that's her whole thing. Like, she wants,
she's
the
like,
guy on
I
his
tell
knee
my children
with
the
ring.
Story?
Yeah, like, what kind of story is this going to be?
I mean, they
be?
Have a good When We Met story.
That's true. And they know how to tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So unromantic.
So this was the moment with the dog and the cat, where we have the puppy outside the room, barking for attention. And we cut to Miranda with the cat in the bed. And I just, the look on the cat's face to me is like, isn't that dog supposed to be going soon? Like, the cat is so calm.
Yeah.
And just like staring. Like, your days here are numbered, dog.
That's Mike Jensen. Hater of dogs.
I don't hate dogs. That dog is cute, but it is yippy.
I bet you that cat sucked when it was a baby cat.
Cats don't suck when they're baby cats. They're adorable.
No, they scratch you and they hurt you.
You're just being contrary.
So, anywhom,
Miranda goes to alert Steve, and Steve is not there.
No, but he does come home.
A sheepish morning, almost walk of shame-ish.
Where'd he get that suit?
I guess he owns a suit now.
That's not that corduroy suit. Yeah. Where'd you get that suit, Steve?
And he's leaving. That's it.
And
I'm guessing he's moving in with the girl.
No.
I don't know. Where else is he moving?
I think we did pretty good.
We did us proud.
And then she's like, I want to say keep in
touch.
Yeah,
there's the idea of like, do we keep in touch? And like, is that a good idea? I feel like these days, because we're all Facebook friends, like the couple of guys that I've gone on dates with in the last 20 years, like I'm Facebook friends with them and I get to see what happens to them for the rest of their lives.
You don't have to.
I don't have to. That is true. It's called pushing the bruise. But yeah, and that's that thing of like, do we not? Like, and you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's doing the floors. And it is loud.
Yeah, I'm like, this is where I thought, did Carrie own her apartment?
Yeah, no, she doesn't own her apartment. She's definitely renting. Someone else in that apartment has to be like, what the hell is happening?
I said I wouldn't be bothered. I'm bothered.
Yeah, and he's like...
And she's on a deadline.
He's like, here, I'll give you the keys. You can go to my apartment. And she's like, no, Pete's going to jump on me. I'm like, Carrie hates dogs too. Everyone hates dogs.
So she's going to go to the Stanhope Hotel.
Which I'm going to look up right now.
No, it's on 5th and 81st.
All right, so is that by where Carrie's apartment
really.
Is? She's at 73rd?
Is it 73rd or 74th? I wanted to bring this up. I am not a Sex and the City expert. I just want to be clear. I am someone who loves this series a lot and has watched it a lot. But I will say that I was walking down 2nd Avenue yesterday... thinking, right around here, did we ever post the worst picture taken of all time?
Maybe. I could post it again. I mean, we might as well.
When we realized that we were on the corner that would be the block where Carrie lives. And Elise went to take a picture of it. And it was so cold. It was so cold out that, like, she couldn't even really get her hand still. And then, like, couldn't, like, take the picture. And so the picture just looks like dense fog.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. But no, I was walking down Second, and I was like, one of these is that block, and I couldn't really remember. But it did make me think. I don't want to have ever claimed that I'm an expert on this show. I'm just someone who likes it very much, because I thought an expert would know exactly what street. I feel like it's 74th, but maybe it's right around there. But if this is 81st and 5th, that is not around the corner. That is... very far away, but farther than it seems, because 2nd to 5th is quite a stretch.
Carrie lives at 73rd Street.
Okay, 73rd. Yeah, so it's not really around the corner, but it is a real hotel, and they really shot there. If you Google image it, you'll see that elevator, you'll see the bar.
So she goes there, and...
Yeah, we quickly cut to a walk past Tiffany's.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, Tiffany's...
We have a lot of little interjections that happen
I was just
here.
There today. Not Tiffany's, but I was right over there. I was getting my hair done.
Well, I think we've talked... I've still never been to Tiffany's.
All right, well, it's still there.
Fun fact.
Okay.
So, this is sort of... Charlotte kind of gets the proposal-ish that she kind of wanted, but at least she can spin
yeah,
it to
he's
tell
just like,
the
why
story.
Don't we just go in here and... get you the best ring you can find.
Alrighty.
From that moment on, Charlotte would tell everyone that right in front of Tiffany's, Trey popped the question, and she said, alrighty.
Yeah, so fun fact from the commentary, Tiffany's was very excited for the attention, but would not allow film crews inside of the facility. But, so that window that we're looking through is a fake window that's like just sitting in the sidewalk. But that's real Tiffany stuff in it because they were very particular about making the fake window look like the real window, even though they couldn't shoot through the real window. Seems like a lot more work than just like, let's just put a camera inside.
Right.
But yeah, so that's a
Tiffany's
real setup.
So Tiffany's let them use the jewelry?
Basically, yeah. And there was like people standing there to make sure that nothing happened to the jewelry. And now, wait, what do we do next? Oh, I wrote down we get the age-old dating ritual.
I wrote that too! I wrote the good old-fashioned dating
ritual.
Yeah,
I wrote age-old dating ritual.
What is it? The blowjob tug-of-war.
Yeah, which, don't do it.
It's not a thing.
Don't do it. She'll get there if she wants to go. She knows where it is, for the record. She's not confused. So if she wants to go there, she's going to go. You don't have to give her any kind of push at all.
No, sir. Adam.
And then it's an interesting scene where she finally just says, like, you've got some funky tasting spunk.
Yeah, well, Adam, you have some funky spunk. And then she's
And even
like,
the whole, like, all the work that we have to do. Like,
you men have no idea what we're dealing with down there. Teeth placement and jaw stress and suction and gag reflex. And all the while bobbing up and down, moaning and trying to breathe through our noses. Easy? Honey, They don't call it a job for nothing.
And then he's like, how about this? I'll let you try it. And you, if it's okay it, for yeah. you, then it's okay for me. And he's like, I can't do that. It's gay.
He's like, is this not gay if it's yours?
Okay, so I'm assuming that Adam has never masturbated.
Well, but I think the point is then, so this is not confusing, but a little confusing. So what I'm imagining happened here is that he masturbated and then tasted himself.
We have to put an explicit on this episode. Then,
I mean, that's what happens, right? And then he's like,
I'm fine with it.
So he took care of himself, tasted it, and then was still like, now I want a blowjob.
Yeah, selfish, relax.
And then we got nose right in the pubes.
Oh, I didn't see it.
There are certain sex scenes that I will watch on TV or film and think that's an explicit sex scene. It is completely different to me. Like, when it's something having to do with oral, I don't know how you film that. Oh, no. We didn't even really talk about the shot before where it's, like, in the mirror. And, like, I don't know where things are. I know things aren't really happening. But here's the fact. Kim Cattrall, her nose touched Bobby Cannavale's pubes. Like, that happened.
Unless there's a Merkin.
Maybe it was a Merkin. But there are certain oral scenes where I'm like, that person's face is there.
Because there are things that block yeah. and do. So it very well could have been
There are just certain scenes that I watch, and yeah. I think that was a very intimate.
Because I feel like the women are all very, I'm sure they would have said absolutely not.
Right.
Was it in the commentary?
It was not.
Oh.
So Big is in the lobby.
I'm in the lobby.
How did you know I was here?
That guy at your place.
Yeah, Big is in the lobby.
Yeah, well, he calls up to Carrie and is like, that guy at your place. I'm like, it's her boyfriend. Like, right. You don't have to call him the guy at the place. And he's like, come down, meet me in the lobby. She kind of protests, but then goes. He's not in the lobby. He's in the bar. There's even the comment of like, I don't want him to ever know about you. And I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know why.
I think she feels like if he knows about Big, he's going to think that she's a different person than she is.
I guess so. It's just an ex. Like, it's someone that she used to date. But once again, she already told the lie. Like, if she were to now say, oh, hey, by the way, that guy that I said that I didn't really know, we dated for 2 years. She just has already put herself in a position where she's lying. Random fact from the commentary. Apparently, on Big's close-ups, something went wrong with the film, and they had to reshoot several weeks later. So Big's close-ups, where you can't see much of the bar, is not in that bar anymore. Because couldn't go back and refilm there. They had to build that, just basically that little thing on a soundstage. But he recorded those, filmed those completely on a different, like, day in a different place. And then as she leaves, he follows her. I wrote nothing more down because I don't want to talk about it. Well, so you talk about it.
So he follows her into the elevator, and he tries to kiss her, and she's like, no, go lay in your beige bed. And then he keeps trying to kiss her, and every time she's like, F you, F you. And then he kisses her again, and she's like, F me. And then it cuts to them in bed together, and he's smoking an American Spirit.
With that fucking smirk on his face, with that stupid smile on his face. Oh, I hate him so much.
I mean, why don't you hate Carrie?
I was so mad at her. I was so mad. And the point I will also make is that it's supposed to be shocking when she says the F word because she doesn't say it very often. And she said it a few times. I feel like they kind of overplay that whole thing. But I was so mad at her. I was so mad at her that I guess I will tell the story now that I was going to say in the next episode, which is just years later, and I don't know exactly how many years, but back in the old days, TV didn't come out on DVD right away. In fact, this was 2000. TV on DVD wasn't really a thing until like 2004, I want to say. Like, it was several years later that became a format. Now everything comes out on DVD. When I bought the DVDs years later and was rewatching this series and got to the next episode, I realized that I'd never seen it. That I was so mad about this that I had not watched next week's episode. And like years later, it was like, oh, an episode I've never seen. I guess that's kind of fun. So the next episode is one that I saw many, many years later. I was so mad. It's fine.
Well, I hope she tells Aiden about him now.
Stay tuned.
I couldn't help but wonder who is in charge of side work at that restaurant.
See, mine's super serious. Okay, I couldn't help but wonder how you go from being so protective that, like, you wipe the condensation off of a table to falling back in with someone who over and over again you have verified is bad for you. And big lovers all over can send their responses on that. But it makes me so mad. I'll do a funny one. I couldn't help but wonder if no one's ever told him that he had the funkiest tasting spunk before. All right, let's go get some food.
Yeah, I need bye. To eat something. Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for All or Nothing.
Yeah.
It ain't cold. It feels very, feels very good for Big Bear.
That was a big deal with the McDonald's coffee cup.
It was a big deal.
There's a whole documentary about it.
About how we're not really supposed to be mad at her.
Right.
That, like, she really had a reason.
Was she really injured? Was it really bad?
I don't know. I hope her crotch is okay.
Well, I sidetrack. Sorry. We're both hungry. It's going to be another one of those podcasts.
I totally forgot the actor that plays Anne's name.
John Corbett.
John Corbett.
Who's the star now? Who's the expert?
Maybe we go to...
Friedman?
Yes.
Do they have Rubens?
Yes.
Reuben was the eldest of the children of Israel, with Simeon and Levi the next in line. Naphtali and Issachar and Asher and Dan. Zebulun and Gad brought the total to 9. Jacob!
Okay.
When it comes to relationships, it's smart. When it comes to relationships, I don't think so. But I think it's just for she may not do that. Oh shit! It's just water.
It's awesome clothes.
A little bit spilled.
Get out of my room.
So she also.
It's like a child. I could have brought the one on the bear's. Skin rug. Yeah, it's a...
And then he's like, I think we did pretty good.
No, she says that.
Oh, yeah. She goes, I think we did pretty good. And he says, we did us proud.
You just wanted to jump over the moment that made me cry. Also, they talk about, like, a hint of Clorox. That's an actual chemical thing, just for the record.
What do you mean?
Like, that's actually, like, a chemical compound of that there is a similar taste.
Oh, really?
Yes. Fun fact. Ew. Gets your whites whiter.